Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got a half an hour left. Technically 25 minutes, but five of it was eaten up there with news. And by eaten up, I mean
it was
time invested. Yes. It was not time wasted by the American Family Radio News Department. Abe Hamilton in studio with us today, Ed Battagliano, and I'm Tim Wildman. We've been talking about events in the news and also trying to put things in a spiritual perspective, because this is, after all, Christian talk radio. What's going on in our country and what's going on in the world? And as Ed said, we started off half an hour ago, there is a spiritual war going on planet Earth and all around the globe, and certainly in the United States of America and in our own hearts. You know, there's always a deal with Satan. The Bible says.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about the influence of America, Tim, right, on, you know, the world in terms of the gospel. If anyone doubts the importance of America, it's not because we're special as individuals. It is, for however long it lasts, the platform that God has given to the United States. You just look at the cultural impact we have around the world. In terms of, you know, I'm always amazed to see some video of some, you know, Christian group that's doing missions work in some village, you know, in Thailand or in Uganda. And I'll look and I'll see in the background, I'll see some young teenage boy with, you know, a Kobe Bryant T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? And you look at, so athletes and sports.
And the people that want to come to the world. Come to the U.S., around the world, because of they're attracted to what we have.
Yeah. They see. How do they know about America? It's what they see. They, you know, Captain America or this television program or a musician. Tremendous cultural impact.
I had a South African businessman tell me one time, the greatest export America has is its culture.
So, right, for better or for worse.
For better and for worse. And it's been for worse recently. And you know, it's easy to discuss culture in these vague terms, but really, culture just consists of the ideas, preferences,
how we live,
you know, in a given region.
We need Stephen McDowell or David Barton or somebody on at this point to. Is Alex on? Getting him on, Alex McFarland. But what I don't think I know the majority of Americans don't appreciate what happened during the Declaration of Independence and the War for Independence, or the Revolutionary War, and what the founding fathers of our country, how God brought them together at this one time in human history to birth a land unlike anything the world had ever seen. And the fact that these guys were, when we go to Yorktown on our trip, we visit the home of Thomas Nelson. Thomas Nelson was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and a founding father. And he was a very wealthy man, gave all his money to the fight for freedom and liberty and against the king. And I mean, all his money. And so when I would suspect, if you look at the words of the founders and the signers of the Declaration of Independence and all those events of those times, I don't know that you could say that if you were to survey those guys, they probably thought that they wouldn't win.
Right.
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't envision.
It was a long shot.
Yes. And they certainly didn't envision them being revered
in history. Yeah.
Thomas Nelson didn't think, well, you know, 200 years from now, they're going to be talking about me on national radio because, man, look at what I'm doing.
Right.
No, these guys saw an opportunity to create something that had that was new to planet Earth, mm-hmm. and that would be a country of where men rule themselves and freedom and liberty and all those things, and the sacrifices that those guys and those people of that time did for posterity's sake, and we're still enjoying those today. We don't want to see those end, and we're going down, we're going the wrong way, folks. We're going toward tyranny.
Right.
We really are. It may not look like it now because we live in moral anarchy, but we're going towards tyranny.
Right.
If we continue to go travel this road of shaking our fist at God and his laws and his moral values and our respect for the Constitution and the rule of law, law and order and things of that nature, that we respect for our country and those things. We see those happening, those things happening, the George Soros-funded organizations that are trying to bring down our country. President Obama, you know, he said he wanted to fundamentally, as Abe said, his theme was fundamentally transform the country 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's been successful in a lot of respects in doing that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Alex McFarland, heard each afternoon on Exploring the Word here on AFR, joins us now from, I don't know, where are you today, Alex?
Well, actually, I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, so I'm only a little bit north of you guys.
And are you on your cell phone?
I'm on my cell phone. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Well, it's okay, but I can, so are you at Graceland? Where are you?
Well, I'm in Memphis. I'm headed to Martin, Tennessee. Tonight, we're speaking to hundreds of youth at a See You at the Pole event.
Oh, it's okay. By the way, Alex travels more than anybody I know. anybody I know, Alex travels the country. He's always somewhere. Hey, what's the most beautiful place you've been to naturally?
Oh, golly. I think that might be South Dakota. Silverfish, South Dakota, where Mount Rushmore is.
South Dakota, okay. I put that on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, we were talking, I don't know if you heard me right there. We were talking about what's going on. We were talking about what's happening in our country today and how it's looking at it with spiritual eyes and how Satan, and I know a lot of people listening go, they think that's like saying you believe in Bigfoot, to say you believe in Satan. But, hey, I think I'm getting good company here because Jesus believes in Satan.
Right.
All right.
That's right.
Satan wants to bring down America. And he wants to bring down America because that we stand for, because there's so much Christianity that comes out of America. Is that what's going on here, do you think, in the grand scheme of things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The devil wants America to fall. The devil wants America to turn secular because, well, you know, we were at a conference in Washington a couple of weeks ago, the Values Voter Summit, and I went to a seminar, and somebody documented how 93% of mission work, 93% of Christian mission is either funded by America or comes out of America. So, yes, the devil has this nation in his crosshairs because America, even to this point, is still very key in the Great Commission.
Hey, we're kind of losing you. We heard everything you said right there. Let's try to hook back up. So call him back, Jade. I'm talking to Jade, our producer. Call Alex back and see if we can get a better signal. Dr. Alex McFarland there. What did he say?
93%
of mission work, missions work globally is either funded by America or happens out of
Yeah, you know
America.
Who's building the hospitals and feeding the poor? And taking care of the sick around the world as much as when it comes to charity work.
Marxists, communists. Oh, no?
Those bad old Christians who are doing things around the world selflessly, and they're doing it because they believe the gospel message.
Eh? Yeah, it's true.
So you're listening to Today's Issues. I'm reminded, Abe and Ed, of the comment, and I wish I had in front of me, that Ed and I have cited here before, from Harry Truman, the president of the United States in the 1950s, when he spoke to the U.S. Attorney Generals in Washington, D.C. The U.S. Attorney Generals from across the country were gathered at a convention in D.C., and the president spoke to them, Harry S. Truman, a Democrat. And what he said was, if we, I'm paraphrasing now, I'll pull it up here in a minute, was, he said, if we ever quit obeying the Ten Commandments of God, then we're going to, and every man's left to himself and what is right and wrong, then we're going to be on the road to tyranny.
Yeah. And the reason, that's why I said earlier, this isn't an issue of Republican versus Democrat that we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual war because he was a Democrat. He was a Democratic president. The Democratic Party used to be the, you know, a true left wing, conservatives right wing, if you want to put it in those terms. But the Democratic Party has been taken over by secular progressives. And we don't want to get into, I don't want to get out in the weeds here, but this is a war against God. If we thought that just the Democratic Party in itself was wrong, then why would we be citing a Democratic president? Well, we were citing a Democratic president because he understood the foundations of our country are in the Judeo-Christian worldview. That's why he said we must teach our children the Ten Commandments. That was, he was speaking to the nation's attorneys general about, it was a conference about organized crime. And there, and obviously we're in the middle of the Cold War, but this isn't Republican-Democrat. In a sense, this is the Judeo-Christian worldview in a war against secular progressivism. And that's what we're talking about.
That, Alex, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. You want to comment on what Ed just said?
Well, yeah, well, I completely agree. I mean, this is a war against God or not. You know, April 25, 2013, Hillary Clinton was in New York at a conference for women. And she said to promote abortion and the redefinition of marriage, the homosexual agenda, she said, quote, cultural values and deeply held religious beliefs would have to be changed. And so what I was saying before I went away the first time was that, you know, 93% of missions still comes out of America or is funded by America. So Satan is after this nation because we are so key still, even to this point, America is very key to the Great Commission.
Talking to Dr. Alex McFarland here on American Family Radio. And we're talking about what's going on in our country and what the Bible says about it. And you may think, what does the Bible have to do with 21st century America? Well, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, well, Alex mentioned the fact that Hillary Clinton, she's not the first one to say this, Abe, but when she says that your moral values, your religious beliefs are going to have to change.
Yeah.
Or they're basically
think
gonna
about
be,
that. Think about that.
Yeah. Or they're going to be, or they're going to be outlawed, or they're going to be on the fringe of society.
How long is it before you don't have to sign a pledge that you agree homosexuality is wonderful, or you can't get a job?
I'm sure
it's,
that
it's not, nearly there.
Yeah, we're nearly there. I mean, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, which is comes under the auspices of the executive branch, just issued a 306-page report that, in my estimation, will become the playbook for subjugating Christian values to the public policy mores of the day, which simply says wherever, and think about this, wherever religious liberty comes into conflict with civil rights, and we know what that means.
Right.
Civil rights, what's the nouveau civil rights movement of the day? Sexual deviancy. Whenever those two come into conflict, religious liberty must always be subjugated to civil rights. Mm-hmm. That has just been released,
and the U.S.
And Hillary Clinton believes in that. Don't you think so?
That is the exported application of Hillary Clinton's statement.
That's why she said you're going to have to. She's talking to the American people. She's talking to Christians.
Right.
She's saying you're going to have to change the way you believe. Isn't that what she said? Basically,
yeah,
you're going to have to change your fundamental. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said. But, you know, John Adams said that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Now, James Madison, who's called the chief architect of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, our fourth president, said, we stake the whole future of the American civilization not on the power of government, but on the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. And, Jefferson said that the moral law is as unchangeable and as eternal as the attributes of God. But you have to understand progressivism and the mainstreaming of homosexuality, it only is possible if there is no moral law. So the founders predicated the validity and the sustainability of the Constitution on us recognizing some sort of natural law or moral law. So we're constitutionally, not to mention spiritually, we are in a very dangerous place.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, you live in North Carolina. Who's going to win North Carolina, Trump or Clinton?
Oh, I completely believe Trump will.
You really do? Is he ahead there?
It's pretty much neck and neck, but, I mean, you cannot find, and I talk to people everywhere, you cannot find anybody who says they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm sure they're there, but, folks, we need to pray. We really, really need to pray for this country. We certainly do. But, guys, I was going to say this. Isn't it amazing? Now, think about this. I was in a Q&A yesterday with college students. They say that your sexual orientation, your same-sex attraction, you're born with it and it can't be changed. But your gender, that is your physical chromosomes and body, just by mere mindset, can be changed. Is that weird?
That is weird. And that argument is I don't know how long it would be before it takes root in terms of those who are battling some of these crazy laws, but that has been noticed, that it's strange that sexual orientation can't change, but your concept of gender is fluid. It's bizarre, because gender,
it's inconsistent,
is absolutely rooted in your chromosomes and your biology.
Why is it like that?
Why is what like that?
Well, why do otherwise rational, intelligent people accept this notion that you can self-identify in any way as sexually?
Can I just throw a sentence in here?
Let me set this up 30 seconds, and then you go for it. The same person that would laugh in your face if Tim Wildman, a 53-year-old white guy, walked up and said, "You know what? I'm self-identifying as a Sudanese person, or a Chinese man," they would laugh in my face and say, "You're nuts."
Unless you said you were a woman.
Well, that's my point, Abe. Okay, but if I told them, "Today I'm feeling like I'm a woman, please address me as Tammy,"
right?
Then they would say, then they would think to laugh would be insensitive.
Yeah. Right.
And so why?
Well, a very simple statement. For secular progressives, ideology trumps reality.
Mm-hmm.
So if your ideology needs sexual orientation to be unchangeable, we're good with that. If your ideology needs gender identity to be fluid, we're good with that, even if those two things are irreconcilable.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Ideology trumps reality.
Yeah, and once you, there's no middle ground. Once you unmoor yourself from the teachings of Scripture, which are confirmed by science, then you become open to whatever iterations or interpretations or applications that fit your preferences. And it almost sounds like an oversimplification, but that's what it is. I mean, the insanity that if I like you said, if I say that I'm a 6'7" white man, I'll get laughed in my face. But if I say that I feel like, Alice, I'll get sympathy and people giving me money.
Yeah, and if you're Caitlyn Jenner, you get to celebrate it at the
as woman of the year,
ESPN awards.
Yeah.
Well, you guys both have feminine names for your alter egos. I'm gonna have to come up.
Ella.
Edna. How about
Edna?
Edna.
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 Edna. Hey, I found that quote I was looking for, which I said ultimately moral anarchy and rebellion against God will. God has blessed us with liberty and freedom. If we reject God as a country, and we're on the road to doing that, there comes a tipping point where we're going to move towards tyranny.
Right.
You may think that that's not possible in America. We're a land of free.
It always happens with democracies and republics. Always. They reach a stage where the things they did that made them successful, they turn away from, and they always wind up in tyranny because morality breaks down. And when morality breaks down, you get anarchy. And then the people say, we need somebody to straighten this mess out. We'll trade our freedom for security. That's always the fate of democracies. Will that be our fate sooner or later? That's the
question. We were built on the idea that you can that man would govern himself.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to have that, or everything breaks down. And that's what George Washington was talking about in his farewell address, that morality and religion are indispensable pillars,
right?
The kind of government we want. But I found this. What I did, folks, I typed in Harry Truman, Ten Commandments, Attorney Generals. I don't know how else to. I'll tell you what that website. But just type that in your search engine. Harry Truman, Ten Commandments. I typed in Attorney Generals as well, and I found this speech that he gave. Again, this is a Democrat.
Right.
This is back when Democrats and Republicans were all God and country.
Right.
People.
Yeah.
You may have differed on whether you need asphalt or concrete in the pothole, but you didn't disagree on God and country.
Right.
Back in the 1950s. So this is Harry Truman, a Democrat president, and in the middle of his speech to the attorney generals. Again, he's speaking to the chief law enforcement officers from the 50 states who are gathered, and they are, as Ed said, talking about organized crime. That's the nature of the speech. But in the middle of the talk, he says this: the fundamental basis of our nation. This is Harry Truman. The fundamental basis of this nation's laws. Let me start over again. The fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul.
Mm.
I don't think we emphasize that enough these days.
Mm. And
now listen to this final sentence. This is not his final sentence of his speech, but of that thought. If we don't have the proper fundamental moral background, we will finally wind up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in rights for anybody except the state.
Mm.
End of quote.
Mm.
That's almost prophetic.
Yeah.
Alex, have you heard that quote before?
Oh, yes. I used that quote this past week in a class I was teaching on God and government. And, you know, with the abolition of belief in any Ten Commandments or moral law, that's where we're heading, unless there's an awakening, a revival. And I have hope that there is, that there will be.
Amen. Let it be so. Let
Amen.
The Lord bring revival in America, spiritually, morally, politically.
Any which way
yes.
He brings
Amen.
It, every
Amen.
Way. Every way.
And may the righteousness of God be exalted in Amen. This land. Amen.
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 Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, folks.
See you later. Alex could probably tell you the five best places to eat in America, too. We'll get that from him next.
He could have his own show on one of these channels.
Exactly. We'll get that from him next time. My thanks to Abe and to Ed for sitting in with me today. You're listening to American Family Radio. Stay with us. We've got great programming for you the rest of the day.